This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The camel and the cow and the sheep, they are serving the purpose they were created for. But that person who is non-believer, he is not serving the purpose he was created for. The cow is giving us milk, is plowing the farm, doing whatever she is supposed to do, right? Similarly, the sheep and the camel, they're doing everything that they were created for. وَمِنْهَا تَرْكَبُونَ For riding, for this, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever they created them for, they are doing their job. But I, as a human being, I'm created to only worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ If I am not performing that, that means the cow is better than me. From a perspective of living, listen carefully. From a perspective of living, the cow is living and the kafir is living. They're both living, eating and drinking and going to the restroom. They're living, alive. But this one is serving their purpose, this one is not. Subhanallah. So by the worst disability ever is for a person to commit kufr. That means he is not serving the purpose he was created for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ It's not about the eyes being blind. It is about the hearts that are blind, which belong in the chest. So the worst disability is being a kafir. Now, what is the wisdom and blessing? Because some people always, I know it's not easy when you have a baby that is born disabled. It's not easy, right? But what is the wisdom behind it? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a disabled baby and gave this family or my brother, everything is beautiful and perfect. Why? What's the wisdom behind it? We will study that inshallah ta'ala in few minutes. First of all, listen carefully, Akhwan. You have to, as a form of our aqeedah, you have to believe that all Allah's creation is perfect. Who's going to give me the dalil and get this beautiful Twix? Okay, but there's another, we recite it every Friday, this is a hint. Every Friday we recite this ayah on Jum'ah and Fajr. Alladhi. Who said that? I cannot reach that far, ya Sheikh. It's saved for Ahmed, inshallah. Alladhi ahsana kulla shay'in khalaqa. Every Friday at Fajr. Sajda, insan, right? In the sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who have perfected everything he created, everything. So that, what you considered a disabled boy or girl, that is perfect. Because it says here, أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ This has to be established first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all his creation is perfect. If you understand the hikmah, you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all his creation is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wisdom. A disability is an affliction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It demonstrates the various aspects of wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolute in his ability and choice. He creates some individuals with intact limbs and organs and others deficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala kulli shay'in qadir and fa'alun lima yurid. Allah can do whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. It shows us Allah's mercy and favor. Why? When we look at those below us instead of those above us, we realize Allah's great favor on us. Okay? Now imagine everybody on earth is, let me take it from a different perspective, everybody on earth is rich. How would the rich appreciate the ni'mah if he does not see any poor people? How would the rich start looking forward to giving and gaining reward if he sees no more no poor people? Similarly, if everybody's perfect on earth, how would I appreciate these eyes? How would I appreciate these hands, this brain, this hearing, this all these na'am from Allah Azza wa Jal? This will make a person appreciate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum, wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum, fa huwa ajdaru alla tazdaru ni'mat Allahi alaykum." Look at those who are below you, and do not look at those who are above you. This makes it more likely that you do not belittle Allah's favors upon you. This is one of the, if you look at the main reason that any of us is having stress or depression or any kind of anxiety, is because he or she constantly compare themselves to someone who's above. Right? Look at their house. Look at their kid. Look at their car. Look at their salary. Look at this wife. Look at her husband. Look at this. Look at... Always. Look at the people above. And struggling and striving and maybe sometimes envying and maybe sometimes going through riba in order to catch up with these people. But if I look at the people below me in status, not below me, in financial, for example, or in health or whatever, I would say, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you gave me, you know, three kids and you gave him one or you gave him none. Huh? Ya Allah, you gave me a job that pays $2,000-$3,000 a month and you made him, you know. I would start looking down and appreciating what Allah, but if I constantly look up, I'm going to be exhausted. It never ends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a hikmah why he gave you money and he did not give him money. Why he gave you health and he did not give him health. There's a hikmah for everything. There's a hikmah in everything. I told you the story before, but I'll repeat it because of the occasion. One of our shuyukh was telling us one time, subhanallah, he's at the same time a doctor and he's a sheikh, mashallah. And he was going through his visits in the hospital, and he saw a young man in his bed, and he looks like, you know, a little bit sad. So his brother was next to him, you know, talking to him and everything. And he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Wallahi," the brother's telling him, "you know, Sheikh, my brother had a major accident, and he cannot walk anymore." So he's very upset. So the sheikh started, you know, joking around with him. Inshallah, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the hakim. You know, he's trying to make him feel better. And then he said something that made the guy in bed cry like crazy. He said, "You know, be grateful to Allah, because maybe if you were able to walk, you might use these legs in something that is haram, that is disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal." And all of a sudden, that young man was crying hysterically in bed. So the brother came immediately, took the sheikh and took him out of the room. He said, "What did I say wrong? I'm trying to make him feel better. I don't want him to cry." "Listen, ya akhwan, why is the guy crying?" It turned out, subhanallah, he said, the brother told the sheikh, said, "My brother is the best dancer in Riyadh. Is the best dancer. Every time we go to parties and stuff, everybody asks him to dance." So subhanAllah, as the sheikh hit the nerve, by saying something, you could have used it for haram, if you were giving that. And it turned out that he was using it for haram. So that, being in bed, subhanAllah, without legs, you know, probably the best thing that could ever happen to the brothers, you know. So we have no clue where is the hikmah, but we have not only a clue, we have certainty that the hakim did it. We might not have a clue where's the hikmah or what's the hikmah, what's the wisdom behind this, but I have no doubt in my heart that the hakim is the one who did it. I was telling the brothers today about a quick story. And I told him on Sunday, one of our brothers, He was young, maybe around 2010. He was traveling from New York to Pennsylvania to take a class, Islamic class. Yani. And on his way there, you know, it's an open street, 95. If anybody traveled on 95, it's very, very open, you know. So he was speeding, long story short, he got a speeding ticket. And the speeding ticket is very expensive, $300-something, very expensive, okay? So as a student, $300 is a lot of money. You know, for a student, it's a lot of money. So he was very upset. He was telling me, Shaykh, no, look what happened. Alhamdulillah, qadr Allah, ma shafa, inshallah, khair. Long story short, three, four years ago, they came with a law that he was illegal. The brother was illegal. They came with a law that if you were here in 2010 or 12, we will give you 2-3 years to stay and fix your papers. But you have to prove that you are here. The only proof that he has that he was here in 2010 was a speeding ticket. At that time, the speeding ticket was the worst thing that ever happened to him. Now he's looking at the speeding ticket. Allahu Akbar. $300 is nothing now, right? But the moment, ya akhwan, this is what we have to believe. This is what we have to believe. At that moment, I have to believe that it's khair. I know it's very hard, but as a believer, we have to believe it's khair, whether I know it or not. Because the one who's designing this is Al-Alim, Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir. So, Al-Wadud, Arham Al-Rahimeen. Right? Subhanallah. So, there are a lot of hikmah for a person being disabled. Tayyib. The presence of the disabled among the Muslims is a source of blessing, victory, and goodness, and is one of the gates of Allah's mercy. Treating them with mercy and affection is a means of attaining Allah's forgiveness, mercy, and getting rewards. Yani when I see someone, right, immediately when you see somebody disabled, what do? You rush and you run and you try to help as much as you can, right? That shows that you have mercy. That shows that you will be, inshallah ta'ala, you will gaining reward. So if we don't have these things, subhanallah, where did that mercy come from? Where did the rewards? It's an extra form of getting rewards. And keep in mind, somebody might say, do I have to have somebody who is suffering all his life for me to get a reward? Keep in mind, if that person is patient on his deficiency, he will be rewarded 100 times more than me and you. If he's patient and accepting. Like, remember the story we said one time, Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he mentioned it in Sir al-Nubala. He mentioned that a man was, you know, he was traveling and he was lost in the desert. I'm going to mention it quickly, inshallah. And he saw in the horizon, very far, yani, he saw a tent, yani, raggedy, nothing. But he was looking for someone to talk to. He was lost. So he stopped by. He looked inside. He saw a man, no arms, no legs, blind. And what is he saying? Alhamdulillah, alladhi faddalani ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. The man in the tent is saying, alhamdulillah, that Allah has favored me over so many of his creation. So this man looked at, he said, what are you talking about? You are blind, you have no arms, you have no legs, and you have nothing in your tent, nothing. And the tent is going to fly any second. So the man looked at him and said, am I a Muslim or not? Allah, yes, you are a Muslim, obviously. Allah, how many people are claiming that Allah has a son on earth and they are not believers? Allah, many. Allah, Allah favored me over many. Allah, do I have a tongue? I'm talking to you right now. Allah, yes. Allah, how many people on earth cannot talk? Allah, many. Allah, Allah favored me over many. So you see, when someone has that mentality, you think he will be rewarded immensely, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left me a tongue to remember him with. Allah kept me a Muslim. What's the use? What's the use of being a millionaire with 17 PhDs and you die as a non-Muslim? What's the use? You are a billionaire, you have houses everywhere, you have everything you wanted, and you died not a Muslim. No use. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we ended the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, tawaffani musliman. This is his dua after all that happened. Tawaffani musliman. Make me die as a Muslim. Wa alhiqni bis salihin. May Allah grant us all this dua, inshaAllah. Tayyib. Then comes, or before that, just to prove to you, or to all of us, that this ability itself is not something that shameful. If you look at some of the most renowned, famous, very well known, highly educated scholars, you will find out that they were blind, right? Especially in Egypt. Most of the shuyukh al-qurra, that very famous qurra, are blind. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, who passed away with the Mufti of Saudi Arabia, he was blind. From the Sheikh mentioned here, he said, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum. Who's Abdullah ibn Maktoum? Second Mu'adhin, right? Abdullah ibn Maktoum was blind. He's a Sahabi, very well known Sahabi. Abdullah ibn Maktoum. Abdullah ibn Abbas was blind. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas was blind. And Imam al-Tirmidhi. Imam al-Tirmidhi, that we study his book, the one who wrote down Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's blind. Subhanallah. So, it's not something shameful to have a disability. طيب. Then comes the Shaykh discussed that the most people, old age is the last part of life prior to death. Old age is a stage of life at which a human being loses many abilities and faculties that he previously enjoyed. Because of this, it's an age of apparent disability. This explains the increased number of disabilities with age. طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us the stages in the Quran. He said, ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدْ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Allah said, then we bring you out as a child, and then you will become mature. And then among you, who will die early? And then others, that they will become so old that they cannot remember. You know, we see sometimes our grandmothers or our great-grandma, sometimes they forget. They look at you, who said this? Who's this, Ahmed? Yeah, how are you, Ahmed? Then 5 minutes later, hey, Muhammad, how are you? So they forget, right? So subhanAllah, only we don't make fun of that, because we're all going to reach that age one day. We're all going to reach that age one day. So as a human being grows older, many of his abilities diminish. His hearing, the eyesight, the muscles, the bones, the joints become weak. In this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Zakariya. Zakariya, alayhi salam, what did he say? قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. Zakariya said, oh my Lord, indeed my bones have weakened and my head has ignited with white, yani all white hair. And never have I been disappointed in my supplication to you. Now, there's a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, there's one thing that you become old, this is all going to happen to all of us, and another is you become extremely old that you become a burden. Right? Sometimes somebody becomes old, but alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, they are very healthy, they are independent, they can do things, they can drive, they can do many things. But sometimes some people become very old and become a burden. Yani, wallahi, one of my dua that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make me any burden on anyone. Take my soul before make me a burden on my wife or on my children, on anyone. Wallahi. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us a dua that is close to that, or it describes that stage. When he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-bukhl, wa a'udhu bika min al-jubn, wa a'udhu bika min an urad ila ardhal al-umr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, oh Allah, I seek your protection from stinginess. And I seek your protection from cowardice. And I seek your protection from being reverted to the most, to the worst age. Ardhal al-umr is like the age that you start becoming a burden on others. So Rasulullah used to seek refuge from that. Or he used to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal wal-haram. Al-kasal wal-haram. Ya Allah, I seek refuge, I seek your protection from laziness and from aging. From aging. You know, subhanAllah, every human being in general does not like to ask for help. And especially if they were most of their life, you know, independent and strong and, you know, shrewd businessman or whatever. So to become, take me here and take me there, and especially if, shower me or clean me after the restroom, it's very hard to ask, you know, become even from the closest people that you love. I remember one time Sheikh was telling us a story that son who was, his father died, and he was running the affairs of the whole family. Family of four or five, something like that. So alhamdulillah, Rabbi, he was doing a great job. And, you know, he took care of the family for 7 years. All of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that this man will have an accident. He had an accident and he become crippled. All he does is just move his head. That's it. Everything else is paralyzed. So, you know, now it's time for the... He 7 years took care of his mother and his sister and a few brothers. Now it's time for them to take care of him. So they used to come and wash him and feed him and this and that, and all the time he can't do anything and he feels it inside. So the Sheikh said one time he was sitting in the living room in his wheelchair, and he dozed a little bit, he slept. All of a sudden the phone rang, so he cannot move. So his mother came and picked up the phone. She looked at him, she saw him sleeping. Now he kept on sleeping. And the mother's on the phone, and she said, look, somebody on the other line is inviting her for a wedding or something. She told him, no, wallahi, we cannot come. How can we leave this house and we have this vegetable at home? She did not know that he was hearing her. So the Sheikh said, this man was crying so much that he himself called, he asked to call his friend, and he asked him to take him to a nursing home. He doesn't want to live in the house anymore. He goes, I don't want to be a burden on my mother. I don't want to be a burden on my family. So it's very hard when you become dependent on others, you know. SubhanAllah, no matter how much they love you, there will reach a time that you start affecting their freedom and this and that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us, leave this world without bothering anybody, inshallah. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Tayyib, I'm going to end here, inshallah ta'ala, and we will continue, I'm going to start looking if anybody has any suggestion for our new topic. Will be great. Usually, my topics usually take 7 to 8 months. This is the shortest one ever, take 3 or 4 months only. Some brothers requested the Hayat of the Barzakh. What happened after death? After they put us in the grave, like we today, we buried two people, subhanAllah. We went to bury one, and then there was another sister next to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them and all our deceased brothers and sisters. So what happens after we leave? That might be a topic I'm thinking about, inshallah ta'ala, from that moment till the Jannah or Nar. I will... Hopefully by Monday we'll find out what the new topic is. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.